Updates since October 2012 include new questions referencing new information found in at least six publications: the Aeronautical Information Manual, Advisory Circular 9151A, Effects of Icing on Aircraft Control and Airplane De-ice and Anti-ice Systems, Part 6157, The Pilot's Handbook of Aeronautical Knowledge, The Instrument Procedures Handbook, and The Instrument Flying Handbook. Subjects of new questions include ice detection and aircraft icing, airport markings and signs, GPS, SIGMETS, precision runway monitoring, and physiology. Ice detection and aircraft icing. When icing is detected, particularly when operating an aircraft without de-icing equipment, you should leave the area of precipitation. This may require climbing or descending to an altitude where the temperature is above freezing. Pre-flight action includes obtaining freezing level information and finding out what flight altitudes have above freezing temperatures when planning to fly in areas of precipitation. Check for ice accumulation prior to flight by using a flashlight to reflect off a white wing. Early ice detection is critical and is particularly difficult during night flight. By using a flashlight to check for ice accumulation on the wings, ice can be detected by the reflection of light on the wing, especially on an area of the wing painted white. At the first indication of ice accumulation during flight, take action and get out of the icing conditions. The first place ice is likely to form on an aircraft is the tailplane. Tailplane icing can be detected by a sudden change in elevator force or uncommanded nose-down pitch. Since the tailplane is ordinarily thinner than the wing, it is a more efficient collector of ice. Be alert to the possibility of tailplane stall, particularly on approach and landing. Any of the following may be a warning of tailplane icing: elevator control pulsing oscillations or vibrations, abnormal nose-down trim change, reduction or loss of elevator effectiveness, or a sudden change in elevator force, or sudden uncommanded nose-down pitch. If tailplane icing or a tailplane stall is detected, you should retract the flaps and increase power. If a tailplane stall is suspected, immediately retract flaps to the previous setting and increase power for your aircraft configuration. Make nose-down pitch changes slowly, and, if available, operate the pneumatic de-icing system several times in an attempt to clear the tailplane ice. Heavy icing on the leading edge is not as bad as light icing on the upper surface. Ice on the leading edge can be removed using de-icing systems. Ice on the upper surface is more dangerous because it is more difficult to remove. The most likely reason for buffeting or vibrations after extending the flaps during or exiting icing conditions is incipient tailplane stall. The best technique for using de-icing boots is to use them immediately upon visual detection of any ice. De-icing systems should be activated upon the first indication of icing. After exiting icing conditions, continue to cycle the boots several times to remove residual ice left behind after normal boot operation. A generally recommended practice for autopilot usage during cruise flight in icing conditions is periodically disengaging the autopilot and hand-flying the airplane. Icing intensity is classified according to its operational effects on aircraft: trace, light, moderate, or severe. SIGMETS. SIGMETS are unscheduled weather products that are valid for a period not to exceed 4 hours, but may be reissued for additional 4-hour periods. Airport markings and signs. A runway exit sign points toward the named taxiway that leads off the runway. Runway exit signs provide the direction to turn to exit the runway onto the named taxiway. ILS Critical Area Markings. The ILS Critical Area Markings denote when you are clear of the ILS Critical Area. The ILS Critical Area sign is located adjacent to the ILS Holding Position marking on the pavement and can be seen when leaving the critical area. The critical area boundary sign is a yellow rectangular sign with two thick black horizontal lines. The two thick black horizontal lines are connected by three groups of two vertical lines appearing to resemble a railroad track. The ILS critical area boundary sign is intended to provide you with another visual clue which you can use as a guide in deciding when you are clear of the ILS critical area when clearing an active runway. GPS. VFR and handheld GPS are not authorized for IFR use. During IFR operations, they may be considered only an aid to situational awareness. On a WAS-capable GPS approach, the significance of LNAV plus V displayed means advisory vertical guidance is provided as an aid to the pilot during descent to the runway. LNAV plus V provides an advisory vertical guidance that may be used in lieu of the published step-down fixes on the instrument approach procedure. Question. Your onboard GPS unit is certified under TSO C-129. Your destination is below minimums, and you proceed to your filed alternate. You know that, once diverted to the alternate airport, you may fly a GPS-based approach as long as there is an operational ground-based nav aid and appropriate airborne receiver for use as a backup. Question. En route weather conditions are IMC. However, during the descent to your destination for an ILS approach, you encounter VMC weather conditions prior to reaching the initial approach fix. You know that to log the ILS approach toward instrument currency requirements, the instrument approach can be credited only if you use a view-limiting device. Precision runway monitoring. A precision runway monitoring approach may require monitoring of two communication frequencies simultaneously. Physiology. Tunnel vision and cyanosis are symptoms of hypoxia.